Let me just read again verse 3, a living hope. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So that's where we're heading. But right now, what are you hoping for? What are there things in your life that you hope for? And what do we mean by hope? We often use the word hope, don't we? We use the word hope to express what we would like to happen in either the close or the distant future. And it could be just the simplest of the things. You know, I really do hope someone will give me a Cadbury's cream egg after the service. That's a little hope I have. Bigger hopes you may have are that it won't rain this week if you've got plans to do stuff like walks. Maybe you're hoping to get that job. Maybe you hope to meet someone. Maybe you hope your kids will turn out okay or do okay. I hope to stay healthy as I get older. So we can have a short-term and a long-term hope, but the way we tend to use hope and the way the word hope is like defined in the dictionary is more about kind of wishes. We would like it to happen, but we don't necessarily know it will. So sometimes hope is actually like wishful thinking, you know, fingers crossed, it'll work out okay. So often that word hope lacks that sense of certainty and surety. So we keep our fingers crossed, hoping that it will be good. And this is what the dictionary says hope is, to feel that something desired may happen. And so straight away, those words feel and may are two very uncertain and clear and not very clear words, are they? And those are the kind of ways we use hope the most. We hope it will work out okay. We'd like it to, but we know also that hope is fragile. Victor's already shared, you know, about the hopes of his mum for that relationship, and hope can be fragile and unreliable, and even sometimes our circumstances may get to the point where they seem hopeless. We've probably faced situations, maybe not the same as Victor, but even so, situations in the past, maybe the very recent past, where we have little reason to hope. Our job situation, our relationships, getting through exams, whatever it is, we may feel a sense of hopelessness. And that might be your situation right now. Things are seeming hopeless, difficult, and it's hard to have hope in those situations. In a sense, hope can easily die. When life is disappointing, our hopefulness, our optimism, our desire and sense of things will be okay and be better can be replaced, in fact, by discouragement and hopelessness. But I heard a song recently that says, hope gives us a reason to live. Hope can also have this positive meaning of a real expectation of things to work out. Partly because, or maybe because they've been promised to, or secondly, because they should. There's this sense of things should work out. And I was watching a series recently called El Camino. It's about a number of people who are walking El Camino de Santiago in North Spain. And many people do that as a pilgrimage, and a lot of the people in the program are not religious at all, others are. And this guy isn't religious, but he was in prison for many years, I think 14 years. And while he was in prison, and he was meant to be in a lot longer than that, he knew he was innocent and he didn't belong there. And he said every day he had hope that he would eventually be declared innocent and get out. And hope helped him through each day. He said it wasn't people. In fact, he withdrew from people. But he had hope that things would, an expectation that in the end things would work out because they should, because he was innocent. And it's funny because a lady vicar on the program said to him, you know, you call that hope, but to me hope has another name. Hope's name is God or Jesus. And when the Bible talks about hope, its meaning is different to the one we mentioned earlier, where it's like, fingers crossed, I hope it works out. The biblical word hope, the word that we find in both the Old Testament part of the Bible in Hebrew and the New Testament part in Greek, it has a different meaning to the one we popularly use hope to mean. It's more this one of expectation that things will work out as they should or as promised. And they should, and they are promised because they're promised by a God who is faithful and God who is powerful, a God who can follow through what he does. So when it talks about hope from God, we can trust in it. We can believe it will happen. So our hope can be a strong and a confident expectation. 1 Peter 1 describes it as living hope. Living hope, that means it's alive, it's real. It's not false hope, it's not fake hope, it's not a hope that's going to die, it's living, it's alive, and it's kicking. It's current, and it's forever. It's a hope based totally on what today is all about, as we see in verse 3. It's a hope in that we can have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Jesus is alive, we can have this kind of hope, a hope that's living because it's in a person who is living, a person who, yes, died, but rose again, which is what we're remembering today. And his name, as we've already heard, is Jesus. A living hope because he was dead, but now is alive. And Jesus can bring a hope to people who are facing disappointment, despair even, doubts, and even death, which we all will face one day. He can literally lift us from that place of despair and doubt and disappointment and lift us literally from death. And it's interesting that the original meaning of the word hope in the Old Testament anyway, the Hebrew, it is connected to the word rope. So literally in Jesus, you kind of have, your hope is like a rope, which Jesus is at the other end of it. And he can lift you from wherever you are. Hope can be in this form of a rope, as it were. And that's the original meaning of the word. Something that's strengthened, that's bound together so that it's tight and it's strong and it can rescue, it can save. There's a true story. It's from 1991. These firemen were in New York, and there was a big fire in a block of a block with about 20 stories. And the firefighters from Rescue One Company, they got to the building. There's fire in different places within the building, but they managed to get all the way up to the stairs to the roof safely. And they thought at the bottom everyone had got out, but then suddenly some onlookers realized that there were two guys appearing at a window on the 18th floor. And so they alerted the firemen to this. They said, there's people there, you know, the crowds were shouting. And so the firemen, having already got to the top of the floor, the building, they didn't have time to do other things than use the ropes that they had. And they tied some ropes together and they weighted each other down. I think one of them almost sat on another one to hold the rope while another one was lowered down to save this guy. And this guy, as they were getting ready, you could hear people in the crowd saying, don't jump, don't jump. This guy looked like he'd reached the point of no hope, that he was prepared to jump those 18 floors, which would have, if not led to certain death, certainly a major injury. So they lowered these men. I think you can see a picture of it. This is an original picture. This is the only one I could find of this story. The video is a lot more clear if you want to look it up. But basically, this man was, the flames were even appearing, you know. He was imminently facing being burnt or jumping to his death. And just at that moment, they came down with this rope and they grabbed him and they took him to safety. There's another guy. So again, they took the rope off, they tied it to another fireman and they lowered the rope and saved this other man who again was shouting, hurry up, hurry up. He too was losing hope. But as this rope came down, there it was, hope on a rope. This fireman coming to save him. And they rescued both these men. These brave and humble men saved lives that day. And they did it using this rope. And like I say, the Hebrew word for hope is connected to this, like three cords, three strands that are not easily broken, that are bound together, that can be trusted, can be relied on, can be depended on. It can take the weight. We've sang about Jesus taking the weight of our sin. He's taken the burden from us, and we can just trust in him and lean on him and depend on him. In him there is a living hope that we can be rescued from death, and we all will face death. That's what the Bible says. It says we're all going to die, but it also says we're going to die spiritually. There is an eternity, and you have this choice of being with God forever or being separated from him forever, which is called spiritual death. And Jesus died on the cross so that we can live forever with God. And we can have hope in him because of what he's done. He's conquered death. That's why the resurrection is so important. He didn't just die. He rose again, showing that he's dealt with death. He's paid the price that was required for our sin so that we don't have to, so that we can live forever. And so now we can have hope of heaven, which is the second point. We can have a future hope. And that hope of heaven, it isn't just, oh, I hope to go to heaven. I'd like to. I hope I'll get there. What we can have through Jesus Christ and because of the resurrection is a confident expectation of things promised and a certainty that this is going to happen because of who God is and his word. And he cannot lie. He does not lie. And so through Jesus Christ, we can have this. Let me read verses 4 and 5 and then verse 13. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. The salvation, this is verse 5, the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And that's talking about when Jesus comes again, second coming, and makes all things perfect and new. So he says in verse 13, set your hope, not just cross your fingers, but set your hope, have a confident expectation that this grace will be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. This is something we can truly believe will happen. These verses tell us that the best is yet to come. There is more beyond this world, and there is more beyond what we experience here. Some of you will know that we used to live in Spain. We lived quite near a town called Valladolid, and Valladolid is a town where Christopher Columbus was eventually buried, I think, or at least he died. And there is a monument there commemorating his discovery from a European perspective, obviously, of South America. And what's really interesting about this memorial is that there's this lion destroying one of the words. So you've got three words there, ne plus ultra, Latin, so meaning no more beyond, because there was a time that the Spaniards and probably the British thought they discovered the whole world and there was no more to discover. And of course, Christopher Columbus set off and realized there were other parts of the world that, from a European perspective, we didn't know about. And so the lion there is destroying the word nay, which is no, destroying it, saying, so the meaning changes from no more beyond to being more beyond. And that's what this passage is saying, there's more beyond. This here and now is just a temporary thing. And it is going to be full, as verses, I think, 6 and 7 indicate, full of difficulties and suffering and struggles like we heard about from Victor. That is going to be part and parcel of this life. And even as you put your trust in Jesus and have hope in Jesus now, it doesn't mean you're going to have plain sailing, which again, that's what the verses 6 and 7 are telling you and what we've heard from Victor. But there is more beyond, and that more beyond is perfect. As verse 13 tells us, there's a day coming when God's gift of heaven, the word there is grace. It's a gift that's undeserved and it's a wonderful thing that will be revealed and we can receive it. And though we look at the world now and sometimes think, you know, it's sad, it's frustrating. We may even feel anger at times about things that happen in this world, including death. There is a future where there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. There is hope to come. And so we can have hope now in what's to come because we know things are going to get better. There's a story told of a youth group leader who turns up a rounders match. Youth group are playing a rounders match. He gets there late and he asks one of the guys fielding, one of the young men, you know, how's it going? And the boy responds, well, we're seven nil behind. They've got seven rounders, we've got none. And so the youth leader says, well, I'm really sorry about that. You must be really gutted. And he's like, no, why should I be gutted? He replied, we haven't batted yet. And we've got the best batter in the youth group. We are definitely still going to win. He had this confident hope as he looked at his team and knowing that their turn hadn't yet come, that they were going to do well. They were still going to win. And that's the hope we can have now. We're going to win. Jesus, when he died on the cross, sorry to use another sort of sporting term, he hit Satan for six. He dealt with sin completely. He won the victory. And we're going to enjoy the victory in the future. Victory is secured. We will have difficulties now, but we can have hope for better things. There is more beyond. And it's called here in verse 5, inheritance. An inheritance. The definition of inheritance is wealth passed down. So that's the next slide. A legacy received from someone else. And inheritance can be kind of land, it can be possessions, it can be all sorts of stuff that's passed on to us. Excuse me. And in the case of God, it is everything. It's land, possessions, all that God has, all that's God's heaven, God's home, can be ours, can be our experience. It says in the Bible, you know, all things are ours in Jesus Christ. Yes, we don't receive everything yet. We certainly receive a hope, like, again, described by Victor, that's beyond comprehension and understanding when we're facing difficulties, and a peace that passes all understanding. We can experience those things, but there's more to come, and it is this hope of heaven. And that's the resurrection, really, is there as an evidence for that. It's to give us confidence. The resurrection shows that death is dealt with, sin is dealt with, victory is secured. And what is promised is beyond our comprehension. Illustrations can't do it justice. There's a verse there in the scripture that says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can imagine what God has got in store for us. So we you know, there's no point in me trying to illustrate it, because it's beyond our experience and our understanding. Perfection, God's presence, the glory of God's grace revealed on that day. And it's forever. Verse 4 says, it's imperishable, it's undefiled, it will not fade away. And that means, perishable means it's going to decay and it will eventually die. Imperishable means it won't die. It will be forever. It cannot be destroyed. Undefiled, it's unspoiled. It will not fade away. So much that we see in this world fades away, doesn't it? Even the beautiful things, you know, sunset only lasts a bit, flowers only last a time. Eventually everything fades away and dies. We do too. But this, what we're going to receive in the future, it is not going to do that. And it says it's reserved for us. It's protected for us. God's guarding it. Just like those crown jewels are under lock and key and protected so that no one can scratch it, steal it, destroy it, harm it. Those crown jewels, heaven's like that. God's protecting it for us so that it's going to be intact, perfect, and it's going to be forever. So even as we look at this world and we see decay and destruction, death around us, we can have a hope that that's not what's beyond. Heaven will be forever. It will not fade. It will not die. Its glory will be a never-ending glory. So we'll be there 10,000 years. We're going to sing that in a moment. 10,000 years praising him, and it will seem like no time. It won't be a place where we're going to get bored. But we'll be able to enjoy God and all that he has for us forever and ever. That's what this passage is telling us. And all we have to do, and that's the third point, all we have to do to receive this, to know this, to have this hope, to go to heaven, it's faith, it's belief, it's trust in God. Throughout this passage, we hear how we can have this hope, a living hope, which is present, but also in what's for the future, through faith. Verse 5, it's through faith. Verse 7, it's through your faith. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you believe in him. It's through faith. Verse 21, through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and your hope are in God. So as verse 21 says, our faith and our hope are to be in God. And to hope in God, or have hope in God, it's about confidence in him and what he's promised. It's about trusting all his promises, which are in Jesus, that if because of Jesus' death, because of Jesus' resurrection, we can now live forever. Because he died, we can live. And the person who promises it is God, who's all perfect, all powerful. He can do what he says, and he wants to do what he says. And so we have this hope. Titus 1 verse 2 says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Now, if you think about it, if someone has promised you something today, maybe they've promised you, I don't know, something simple like an egg, promised to get you an egg, or they've promised to take you somewhere this week. If you know that person and you know they can be trusted, then you have confident hope that it's going to happen. And this is the kind of hope that we can have. We know God is perfect. We know God can do it. So if God promises that if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you can then have confident hope that this is what's going to happen. You're going to have heaven. You're going to have God in your life. And this, as this passage says, is grace. It's a word that we use a lot. We sing a lot. We're going to sing this song in a minute. Amazing grace. And that basically means, you know, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing we can do to get this other than receive it as a gift. That's what grace essentially means, a gift that's not to be paid for. It's not to be earned. It's just to be received. And it's amazing grace. And it comes to us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, through the cross, verse 19, if you've got your hand out. His blood was shed. He was sacrificed like a lamb in your place. So we have this Good Friday. Jesus killed, died on the cross for us in our place. And then we have this Resurrection Sunday, remembering that he's dealt with death forever. And all we have to do to experience the benefits of that is have faith. Faith in Jesus Christ leads to confident hope. So hope has that name. Has that name, Jesus. We can have hope now by just simply putting your trust in him. We believe that Jesus died and rose. That happened in history, and we receive that he died and rose for me personally. That is salvation. And when we do that, we don't then have a hope, fingers crossed, that we might be accepted by God and might get to heaven. No, we can have a hope deep down in our soul, it says there, deep down in our hearts, as Victor was talking about, deep within us, that what God has promised, he will faithfully supply. We can have a confident expectation of a great future, an amazing future, all because of what Jesus has done. We're going to sing about that grace. We're going to sing about that hope. We're going to sing about what God has done, the cross and the resurrection. So if the musicians want to come up, we'll just put one verse up on the screen as we do that. Romans 15, verse 13. And this is our prayer. This is my hope for you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, as you have faith in him, so that you may overflow, be truly filled with this hope, this confident expectation that God will supply you with what he promises.